I'm going to be reading this morning from the book of John, chapter 15, verse 23 through 25. I'd like for you, if you will, to take your Bibles and read along with me. I'll be speaking to you on the subject, "They Hated Me Without a Cause." In John 15, verse 23, the Master is speaking, and he says, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated, both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." They hated me without a cause. When the prophets of old wrote of the Redeemer who was to come, when they wrote of the Messiah, and the Scripture says in Acts 10:43, "To him give all the prophets witness," they wrote that the Messiah would be despised, that he would be rejected, and that he would be hated by men. Now let me just give you a few verses from the Old Testament which teach this. Psalm 69 is what we call a messianic psalm. It's David writing, but David is writing about the Messiah. He's writing about the Redeemer. And he says in Psalm 69, "They hated me without a cause." This is a scripture to which our Lord was referring in the text. He said, "As it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." Psalm 22, another one of those messianic psalms. And you'll find in Psalm 22 the very words of Christ from the cross. "My God, why hast thou forsaken me? They parted my garments and cast lots. I thirst," all of these verses. But here in Psalm 22, verse 6, he says, "I am a worm and no man. I am a reproach of men and despised of the people." And then in Isaiah 53, verse 2 and 3, Isaiah wrote about the Messiah, the Redeemer. You know, he said he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Well, here in verse 3, he said, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." And then the prophet Zechariah wrote in chapter 13, verse 6, "Lord, what are these wounds in thy hands?" And then he shall answer, "These are the wounds with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." And the prophet Isaiah said, "No beauty that we should desire him. We hid, as it were, our faces from him." So all the way through the Old Testament, when the prophets of old talked about the coming Redeemer, they prophesied that he would not be well received, but rather he would be despised and rejected and hated of men, and hated without a cause. And then when our Lord Jesus came into the world, the hatred began. It began from the very time of his birth. For the Scripture tells us that Herod tried unsuccessfully to destroy him when he was but an infant. And this hatred, which began at his birth, continued all the way to the cross on Golgotha's hill. They ridiculed his beginning. They said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And then they ridiculed his trade. They said, "Is not this the carpenter?" And then they ridiculed and mocked his holiness. They said, "He's the friend of sinners. He eateth with publicans and sinners. He's gone to be the guest of a man that is a sinner." They put a question mark on his righteousness and on his integrity. They called him a wine bibber. They called him a glutton. They said, "He has a devil. Oh, if he's casting out devils, he's casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, the devil." They tried to stone him on several occasions, and they tried one time to throw him off a cliff. They asked him to leave their cities. There was one group of people in particular that invited him to leave their city and never come back again. And these people hated him so much that they paid one of his disciples to betray him. And because they could find no fault in him, they went out and hired liars and false witnesses to testify against him. And then they took him down to the soldier's house and put a crown of thorns on his head, and they spat upon him, and they scourged him with a cat of nine tails, and then they drove nails in his hands and feet and crucified him on a cross. They hated him, all right. They despised and rejected him, and the question I'm asking in my message this morning is, why? Now, we know it's so. All the way through the Scripture, even the Old Testament prophets tell us no beauty about him that we should desire him. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man with sorrows and acquainted with grief, hated without a cause. And then from the time of his birth till the time they nailed him to a cross, men hated him and despised him and rejected him. Why? Why this awful hatred for one so holy? Why this awful hatred for one so good? Why this awful hatred for one so pure? Was it because he healed the sick? No, this is not the reason, for it says in John chapter 2, verse 23, "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But he did not commit himself to them, because he knew what was in man, and he needed not that any man should testify unto him what was in man. He knew what was in man. But what I'm saying is, when he healed all these people and performed these miracles of healing, giving sight and hearing and strength to lame legs, they gathered around him. They had no objection to his healing people. And I'm saying that people today have no objection to Christ's healing. You can get a big crowd if you put on a healing service. If you pretend to heal broken limbs and give sight to blind eyes and hearing to deaf ears, you can get any man to follow the Jesus that you preach. He had no problem when he was here on the earth getting people to follow him if he'd heal them. A fellow will follow anything to get healing. He'll pay anything to get healing. His health is important to him. And so that wasn't the problem. That wasn't why they hated Christ. That wasn't why they stoned him. That wasn't why they nailed him to a cross, because he healed people. That wasn't it at all. That's not the issue. It wasn't then, it is not now. Well, was it because he fed the multitude? He did that on several occasions. Well, let's see, John 6, verse 26. "Ye seek me." Here was a whole crowd. Our Lord had to get out in the boat to escape the people. Crowds of them, multitudes of them, great throngs of people followed him, and he went all the way around the lake to get away from him. Finally, they found him, and they said, "When you come over here?" He said, "I know why you seek me," John 6, 26. "I know why you seek me. You seek me not because of the miracles, not because I healed the sick, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You were in that crowd of 5,000 that I fed with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I know why you're running after me. You're running after me because you want another meal. You want something to eat. And I'm telling you, the issue is not today prosperity or wealth. Men will follow Christ if you promise them prosperity. They'll follow anybody if he promises them prosperity. Promise a man if he gives 10%, you'll give him 90 back, he'll follow you. Promise a man a profit on all of his goods, and he'll follow you. Promise a man good times and good health and great wealth and prosperity and all of these things, and he'll believe anything you tell him. There's no problem there, and Christ didn't have any problem with that either. The great crowds followed him because he fed them. They got something for nothing. They got something for nothing. And this is what we're hearing today, health and wealth gospel. Believe on Jesus and he'll heal you. Believe on Jesus and he'll prosper you. Well, they did the same thing back in that day. Those very same people that cried, crucify him, were these that were following him when he healed them and fed them. There it is, right there in the Word of God. Well, was it because he raised the dead? No, sir. They didn't hate him for raising the dead. Turn to John 12, verse 10 through 18. Read that scripture. That's when he raised Lazarus from the dead. And it got out. The word of his raising Lazarus from the dead swept that countryside. He had raised a man from the dead. Here was a man who was dead for 3 or 4 days. And Christ raised him from the dead. And he went home to his 2 sisters. And the word spread everywhere, and people came from everywhere. And the Lord came into the city, and they threw palm branches in front of the donkey on which he was riding, and they cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna, he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna." Boy, they just think about it. Here's a fella that if we follow him, we won't die. Or if we do die, he'll bring us forth from the grave. And they just cried, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and it wasn't very many days till they were crying, "Crucify him, crucify him. We'll not have this man reign over us." And people today, if you'll promise them pie in the sky and the sweet by and by, they'll believe anything you say. They'll follow anything you say. Just tell a man that after he dies, Christ will raise him, and he'll believe anything. But that wasn't the issue. You see, I'm showing you this from God's Word. That's not why he was hated. He wasn't hated because he healed people. He wasn't hated because he prospered people and fed them. He wasn't hated because he raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, if they didn't hate him for the miracles and for feeding the 5,000 and for raising Lazarus, why did they hate him? Well, I'm like the old evangelist who traveled through here years ago. Buy your Bible and find out. Look here at John chapter 10, verse 19. There was a division. There was a division among the people for these sayings. You can find that all the way through the writings of the evangelist. When they heard these words, they were filled with wrath. When he spake these things, they took up stones to stone him. There was a division among the people for these sayings. When they heard these things, many of his followers turned away and walked no more with him. It wasn't the healing. It wasn't the feeding the 5,000. It wasn't raising the dead. It was his doctrine that offended them. It was what he said. It was what he taught. That's what offended them. That's what made them angry. That's what brought forth the hatred from the hearts of these people. What he said. Now let me show you that. I'm going to give you four occasions on which the people tried to actually kill the Lord Jesus Christ because of how much they hated him, because of the way they despised him, because of what he said. Now here's the first one. Perhaps you'd like to jot them down or follow in your Bible. But why did they hate the Lord? He said they hated me without a cause. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. Why? Here's the first one, John 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. And you know that word "my" is in italics. It's not in the original. He's saying I and Father are one. And then the Jews took up stones to stone him. And he said, "Many good works have I done among you. For which of these do you stone me?" And they said, "For a good work we stone thee not, but we stone thee for blasphemy. Because thou being a man makest thyself God." They knew what he was saying. I know what he was saying. Do you know what he was saying? He's saying, I and Father are one. I am God. That's what he's saying. He's saying that I am God. Now, my friend, I don't know. The world did not then believe that he was God, and the world does not now believe that Jesus of Nazareth is very God of very God, but the Bible declares that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in human flesh. That's what the Bible teaches. It says over here in Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call the name of that son Emmanuel, God with us." God with us. God in human flesh. God incarnate. God and man, one. Isaiah 9:6, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." That's who he is. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? He's God Almighty in human flesh. That's what he's saying in John 10:30. I and Father are one. And they started grabbing for big stones. He said, "Now hold it. Now I've done many good works. For which of them are you stoning me?" They said, we're stoning you because you're a man. You're a man. You can't be God. God can't be a man. Well, the Bible says so. John 1, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. The Word who was with God and was God and by whom all things were made, that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Acts 20, verse 28, Paul is addressing the elders of Ephesus, and he's leaving them. And before he leaves, he's saying to them, "I charge you to feed the church of God, which he purchased." Which who purchased? Which God purchased. The church of God, which God purchased with his own blood. Whose blood? God's blood. You say, how'd God shed his blood? God became a man. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, the Father said to the Son, he never said this to the angel, "To which of the angels said thee this at any time? Sit thou on my right hand." And to the Son he saith, "Thy throne, O God, is forever." To the Son, the Father said, "Thy throne, O God, is forever." 1 Timothy 3:16, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." God in the flesh. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Isaiah 45:22, "Look unto me and be ye saved, because I'm God and there's none else." My friends, Jesus Christ said to this crowd what I'm saying to you. And it brought forth anger and hatred, and it brought forth retaliation. He said, "I and Father are one." You're looking at the Father. Philip said, "Show us the Father." He said, "You're looking at him. He that has seen me hath seen the Father." And then all the attributes of deity are in Christ. What are the attributes of deity? Well, the attributes of deity, first of all, are omnipotence. That is, God's almighty, almighty God. Christ is almighty. He said, "All authority or power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Well, what about omniscience? That is, God knows everything. Christ knew everything. He knew their thoughts. Well, what about omnipresence? That means God is everywhere. "Whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Christ said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth." What about holiness? He knew no sin. Eternal existence. He said, "I am. I am." The same word that was spoken on that mountain to Moses is the words he spake to his disciples and to the religious people of his day. "I am. I am." Power to give life. Only God can create life. Christ said, "The Son quickeneth whom he will." Power to forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin. Christ said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Thomas had it right when he fell on his face and cried, "My Lord and my God." So, my friend, that's the first occasion for this terrible hatred and anger when he declared who he is, God Almighty. And then in Luke chapter 4, if you will turn to Luke 4, verse 28. Now listen to this. "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things," when they heard these things, not when they saw healing and miracles and feeding and prosperity, when they heard his message, when they heard the truth of his words, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath and would have killed him. They led him out to the brow of the hill and would have thrown him off the cliff. Why? What had he said that generated such horrible hatred to turn a Sabbath morning worship service into a lynch mob? And that's what it was. These people had met in the temple, in the synagogue, on the Sabbath morning to hear the scriptures read and hear the preacher. And the reader was Jesus of Nazareth, and the preacher was Jesus of Nazareth. And he was faced this huge crowd, and this was his hometown, Nazareth. And he faced this crowd. This was supposed to be the Lord's people on the Sabbath day in the worship service. And he faced them, and this is what he said. He's saying, as he read Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and give sight to the blind and deliverance to the captives, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear." But you say unto me, physician, heal yourself. What you did in other cities, do in our cities. But I say this to you. There were many lepers in the land of Israel. Now, Israel thought they were God's people, and God was obligated to them, and God owed them something. And to none of them, there were many lepers in the land of Israel in the days of the prophet, and none of them were healed. Not a one, but a Gentile named Naaman. And he said there were many widows in the land of Israel in the days of the prophet, but none of them were fed but a Gentile. In other words, this is what he said. You people think you have a corner on God. You think that God's obligated to you. You think that God owes you something. Well, I'm saying this to you. This is what Christ is saying. Mercy is sovereign. Grace is sovereign. God said, I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And God is not obligated to any person, regardless of his ancestry, regardless of his tradition, regardless of his ceremonialism, regardless of his so-called outward righteousness. God will show mercy to whom he will show mercy. And he shows mercy to the needy, not because he owes anybody anything. And they got so angry when he told them that they were sinners like anybody else and dependent on the mercy of God like anybody else and shut up to the sovereign grace of God like anybody else, they became so angry that they turned their Sabbath morning worship service into a lynch mob. I tell you the way to approach the Son of God in order to obtain mercy. You approach him like the leper. When he came down from the mountain, the scripture said a man who had leprosy met him and fell on his face. And he didn't say, Lord, Abraham was my father and you owe me something. He didn't say, Lord, my mother and daddy were believers and you owe me something. He didn't say, Lord, I've served you all my life and given my time and talents and tithes to you. He came and fell on his face and he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will. And that's what Christ is saying to these people. God owes you nothing. Oh, I take that back. God owes us the wages of sin. We've earned that. That's coming to us, and we deserve it, and we're going to get it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that gift is given sovereignly as he pleases. Our Lord said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you revealed it to babes. For even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. Our Lord told these people that God was not obligated, that God was not our servant, that God is not our valet, that God Almighty is not waiting at the beck and call of a crooked finger. Almighty God is sovereign in giving his grace and mercy. And that's so. And that made them angry. And then, if you will, turn to John 8:59. Now listen to this. John 8:59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. They were going to stone him again. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. My friends, he's in the temple again. These people who are going to stone the perfect, holy, immaculate Son of God are religious people. Now, that's a surprising. Isn't that surprising to you? But do you know that every one of the apostles were martyred or slain except one, John, and they were all killed by religious people? Religious hatred. And do you know why these people took up stones to stone him? Well, let me show you. Go back, John 8, verse 24. First of all, he called them sinners. He called them sinners. He said, if you believe not that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to die in your sins. If you don't have a Savior, if you don't have a Redeemer, if you don't plea to me for mercy, you're going to die in your sins. And if you die in your sins, you can't come where I am. And then he said they were of their father, the devil. Look at verse 44. He said, you are of your father, the devil. God's not your father. You might boast and swear on a stack of Bibles that God's your father, but God's not your father, he said. Your father's the devil. Christ denied the universal fatherhood of God. God is the father of his children. He's not the father of the children of wrath. He's not the father of the devil's children. Christ said, look at it, verse 44, you have your father the devil, and his works you'll do. He was a liar from the beginning, and then he calls them liars, verse 55. And then in verse 47, he tells them, you hear not God's word because you're not of God. He that is of God heareth God's word. These are strong words, but these are not my words. These are the words of Christ. And they hated him for them. Not for his works, for his words. Not for his miracles, for his message. That's why they hated him. And that's why they nailed him to that cross. He said, I'm God, and I'm a sovereign God. And he called them sinners and told them they needed mercy, they needed help, they needed forgiveness, they needed grace. And they said, we don't need you and we don't need your mercy. We're Abraham's sons and we'll rest in our heritage and rest in our tradition. And then last of all, in John 6, verse 66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What did he say this time to make all these people turn and leave him? Well, he said in verse 53, John 6, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Life is not in ceremony, it's in the blood of Christ. Life is not in rituals of religion, it's in the sacrifice of Christ. He is our Passover. He is our Passover. Eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life. There's no life in your law. No life in your religion, no life in your ceremony, life's in Christ. They hated me without a cause.